This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Rob Cotter had it made. 30 years ago, he was living in Southern California working for car companies like Porsche and BMW. So he's building luxury cars for the affluent, but he wasn't blind to the poverty around him. And he was mindful of the amount of energy it takes to keep fancy cars moving. He began thinking in new ways and started to imagine different kinds of pedal power vehicles. Ultimately, those thoughts brought him to downtown Durham. Rob is the founder of Organic Transit. He says that consumers are eager for a vehicle that is something less than a car and more than a bicycle. I recently visited Rob Cotter at his headquarters in downtown Durham to find out more. Rob, tell us about this vehicle. What does it do? How is it designed? What are the features of this, the ELF?
Okay, the ELF is a designed to fill the space between a bicycle and a car. Legally, it's a bicycle, but it has a weather-protective shell, it has three wheels, it has an electric motor that's assisted by solar panels, and it comes out to an equivalent of 1,800 miles per gallon. It can carry up to 8 bags of groceries, 300-plus pounds of payload, and because it is legally a bicycle, it can be used on bike trails and parked on sidewalks, and there's no insurance or registration, things like that.
Right, and what does ELF stand for, or does it?
It stands for Electric Light and Fun.
And it is electric. You said the equivalent of 1,800 miles per gallon, but there are no gallons. There's no gasoline.
That's right. So if you took all these energy and converted it to watts, would be one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's how far it could go with the energy capacity from 1 gallon of gas.
Well, so can I take a ride?
Yes. So we'll put it in an easy gear to kind of get you going here a little bit. And the way, let me just show you how we get in. It's kind of like getting in and out of a kayak.
That's helpful.
I take a big step, just like that, and I'm in. So let's
discreet a little bit. And then when I want to slip it into, so I'm pedaling along, and then I want to kick it into the battery. What do I do?
So you hit that throttle.
Just turn that
on the right side. So left side's the shifter, and the right side's the throttle.
And so how does it work? Can I switch from, do I pedal it for a while and switch over to the electric engine, or how does that go?
So they both work independent of each other. So you can use as much electric as you want, and you can pedal as much as you want, independent of each other or together.
I see. And the solar panels, obviously they're collecting. How long does it take to charge, fully charge the battery? On a sunny day.
With the standard panels, it's on a good sunny day, it's about 5 hours. 6 hours to recharge, approximately. A lot depends on cloud cover and, you know, geography and things like that. But about 5-6 hours, and you can plug it into your household current, and in about an hour and a half, be up to a full charge as well.
All right, so where did the idea for this come from?
About 30 years ago, I was working for Porsche and BMW in Southern California, and as exciting as fun as that was, with all the race car activity, I was also a little jaded by the poverty that was all around us and the amount of energy being spent for these incredible automobiles. And near us was a company called AeroVironment, and AeroVironment was building the Gossamer Condor and Gossamer Albatross, which were pedal-powered aircraft. And it became really apparent that, you know, we don't need all the power we currently use. And at that time, the record was about 55 miles an hour for someone pedaling a streamlined bicycle. That's approximately 1 horsepower and on flat surface with no hills or anything. So I got involved with that and built a 62-mile-an-hour tricycle and started blow molding windshields out of plastic and designing and building composite bodies. And I got grants from General Electric and DuPont and built all sorts of cool stuff like that. And at that time, many people or the engineers that were involved in those sorts of projects knew that this was a way to go. But, you know, a lot depends on the price of fuel and what's happening in the environment. In fact, we used to have a saying, people will buy, you know, solar cars when fireballs are falling from the sky.
So tell me about this in terms of design. Is it designed to be streamlined, easy to pedal, or is it going to be a lot of work in terms of the design of the ELF itself?
So I think in every ambitious design project, there's a multitude of parameters that come into play. So, you know, one is comfort, efficiency, ease of manufacturing, the ability to ship it, overall weight, cost, availability of materials. And all those things come into play. So it's really designed to pedal very easily. In fact, we get orders all the time with no electric motor in them. People just want them to as a pedaling device.
It's higher than most recumbent bikes. It's wider than most bikes. What's it going to do on the road? You're going to be pretty much in the travel lane, even if there's a bike lane. You're going to be outside of that in this thing, aren't you?
Yes. Well, one of the great things is for, especially for urban use, like in New York City, in Manhattan, the average speed of automobiles is 11 miles an hour. So we have no problem exceeding the speed limit in that relationship. But it scoots right along with traffic, with downtown traffic right here. And once you've accelerated up to the speed that works for your city, then you can be pedaling along real easily.
And you've got a lot of lights on this thing as well, so.
Right. You know, it's not the worst thing to have a decent-sized footprint on the road because people identify you, see you, as opposed to the disappearing cyclist.
So if I wanted to just pedal for a minute, I would go this way? No. That's on. Right. So now it's off.
Yeah.
There's really not that much room for me on this sidewalk. And I believe I'm going to take out a gallery framing sign and a mailman right now. No, I didn't do it. That's pretty good. Hey, how's it going? All right, now I got to stop here. How is Durham, and why Durham to build this? You're building them right here, are you?
Yes, we're assembling them here. We build some of the components at other facilities we have and other companies in North Carolina. I entered the startup stampede over a year ago, which is a startup incubator space in Durham, and got accepted and was kind of fully embraced by the community. Made lots of connections, developed some nice alliances with local architecture firms and other businesses, and it's just gone from there.
How about sales? Have you talked about some sales? What are sales like, and who's buying them? Are they here in Durham, or are they mail-ordered?
For about a year now, we've been accepting pre-orders on our website, and that's accumulated to hundreds and hundreds of them. And that was just sight unseen, people saying, look, we really find this important. We want to be part of it. In the past week, we started a Kickstarter campaign, and we've reached about 90% of our goal in about 10 days approximately. And so that's about 20 sales of vehicles there, which a big part of never knew about us before.
How much are they?
The base price is $4,000.
And we talked about this. It has solar panels, so we shouldn't confuse this with a kind of hybrid. It's not my pedal power that's being reserved somehow and added to this battery, or is it?
So the solar panel contributes to the batteries which propel the vehicle, and then you also pedal to propel the vehicle. So in some sense, it is a hybrid, but not the way, say, a Prius is or something. I mean, there's no fuel spent here other than what you might tap out of your 110 household current occasionally. But if somebody actually upgraded to additional solar panels, you could probably travel 50 or 60 miles a day and never, ever have to plug in.
Do you think this business is scalable? Is it sustainable as a business? Is there enough interest in this kind of thing for you to actually make it, selling these things beyond the kind of prototype that you're sort of involved in now?
Well, yeah. We've designed this for a decentralized manufacturing, a micro supply chain. So we would like to be assembling them in downtown locations, not in this country, but in multiple geographies, where people can see them coming together, kind of like touring a brewery. And they see them come together, and then they realize, oh, I'd like to have the larger battery pack, or I'd like to have more solar panels, or the blue fenders, or the wicker seats. And each one of these can then be customizable. But the essentials of the vehicles, which is the aluminum frame, the Trilon vacuum form body, those things can be shipped all over the world in boxes of 50 and to be assembled in those locations. So it's designed to be a global rollout, and we've price pointed it to be extremely reasonable. And although it's kind of an education here in the U.S., essentially every country in the EU is about 1,000 times the market that it is in the U.S.
Just turned on the battery, and I'm zipping down Chapel Hill Street in Durham. Going pretty fast, too. It kind of, moves you from side to side. How am I doing behind? So I'm all alone here on Chapel Hill Street, coming up on Main. I think the smart thing for me to do would be to turn the battery off. At a red light. light here at Main and Chapel Hill at Five Points in Durham. And let's see, if I start, it's kind of nice to have that acceleration when you start up. That's the worst part of riding a bike, of course, is when you got to stop and then start up again from a dead stop. This is my first turn. Yeah, it feels a little bit rough here on the turn, I'll tell you. It takes some getting used to, you know what I'm saying?
There it is. You heard me piloting the ELF, a new vehicle created by Durham's Organic Transit. You also heard me talking to Rob Cotter. He's the founder of Organic Transit. We taped this last week at their headquarters. They have since hit their Kickstarter goal, and they will be having a hoedown Saturday, 6 p.m. at their headquarters on Chapel Hill Street in Durham. You can learn more about Organic Transit at organictransit.com. Up next today, we'll find out about the end of the world on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox, speak front, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down high. Wire in a fire, representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team, my team, reporters back.